We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, back to the field. Bases loaded. The pitch for Yanni. Here it comes.
This is a Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron.
Swings and hits it deep.
Get up, baby. Get up. Get up.
It's a grand slam.
Oh, a grand slam home run for Yadier Molina. He touches them all.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby and the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Got a great show for you tonight, coming off the Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up over the weekend, the Caravans, and the Baseball Writers Dinner. Klebs, a month from today, Grapefruit League action starts in Jupiter, Florida. And what a great weekend it always is with everything going on at Hyatt Regency at the St. Louis Arch. The Caravans, the Baseball Writers Dinner, the official, I believe, start of the baseball season.
I would agree with you. You know, we had a lot of fans that participated. You were on the Caravan, as was I, and the weather wasn't ideal, but we saw a lot of people still come out and meet and greet, and then we had a ton of people downtown this weekend. And you're right. I think that this is the opening day of the 2019 baseball season that I have already put on my calendar that will run into early November.
What were some of your biggest takeaways from winter warm-up? Obviously, you had Chris Bryant's comments about St. Louis that sparked some a buzz between the players. We got our first look at Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller as Cardinals. Got to see Dexter Fowler at his first winter warm-up, who said he's excited about getting going and looking forward. And also heard John Mozeliak pretty much say, I think one of the takeaways I had is that he expects Jose Martinez to be a part of this club. So a lot news-wise coming out of the couple of days.
Yeah, there was, and I thought it was all positive. We don't have a lot of concerns, you know, with regard to who's going to do this and who's going to do that. I think we filled in a lot of blanks last year late in the season. And with Mike Schilt and what he's been doing with his coaches, I just think everybody just wants to get to it. There are a number of players that are already here in Jupiter that are working out at the complex. I saw Yadi yesterday in the gym, and, I mean, guys are just ready. And I think that the Goldschmidt acquisition and the Miller acquisition sent a message to the players that the Cardinals feel like they're going to go all in this year because they've got a lot of expiring contracts after this year, but they feel like they can make a run at it. And I think a lot of guys are excited and rejuvenated.
You know, we also had some buzz about our conversation with Jack Flaherty last week when he said he'd take the pitchers
man.
Over the position.
Have you started players. Something?
Hey, man, it was great. Flaherty and Fowler picked teams. Then you had players campaigning for a spot on either club. I think that one of the great things about this weekend and about this team is just when you get to see some of the guys' personality clips, and we certainly and fans certainly got to see a lot of that over the last 3 days.
Well, I'm going to take it one step further. Jack Flaherty was on my Caravan, and we were in Rolla, Missouri at the high school. And we walked through the gym, and there happened to be a couple of basketballs laying around. So I learned two things. A, I'm not very good anymore. And B, Jack Flaherty can do anything he wants. He is an exceptional athlete. He's a really good athlete. So I'm picking the pitchers. And I saw John Gant on Sunday. And I'm picking the pitchers.
We're going to hear from so many of the guys from the last couple of days at Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up. Before we get to that, though, Klebs, do you want to talk for a moment about the Hall of Fame? Because we get the news yesterday that there will be four new inductees. That'll make it a grand total of six that'll be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown this summer, joining Lee Smith and Harold Baines. Mariano Rivera, the first unanimous inductee, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, and the late Roy Halladay.
I can't argue with any of them. I mean, I don't think there's even a raised eyebrow. Rivera, you know, he was in the American League, but, you know, his name speaks for itself. Mussina is an interesting guy because he was on some bad teams and really never got the postseason opportunities that he probably deserved. But, you know, I go back to the theory that you should talk to players who face these guys. And I never heard anybody say, I can't wait for Mike Mussina to pitch tomorrow. Edgar Martinez, along with Harold Baines, set a trend that I'm glad to see where, you know, if you put a uniform on and you play a position or you have a role on the team, then you're Hall of Fame worthy. Much like Harold Baines, a DH, Edgar Martinez was as good as they come. And I know people say, well, he was only a DH. Well, you know what? Mariano Rivera was only a closer. You know, so, I mean, he was the best at his position. Roy Halladay, when we saw him in the National League when he was in Philadelphia, he was dominant. And I saw him pitch, in my opinion, the greatest playoff game I was ever part of against the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Philadelphia Phillies against Chris Carpenter. He gave up a run in the first inning, and they were both lights out. But, you know, any night he went to the mound, he could be lights out. So when you look at these guys, I mean, they are all deserving, could be happier for them. And I think that the next challenge, Chris, is after Jeter, who's next as far as the Hall of Fame for next year? And will they look at some other guys who probably been on the cusp the last few years and say, well, maybe this is the year a Schilling gets in, or maybe a Larry Walker or someone along that line? Or do they just slam the door and say, no, we're going to go back to the old school days, and if you're Hall of Fame worthy, then you're in. If we have to debate it, then you're probably not.
You know, I think that Rivera, so incredible, because not only did he do one thing probably better than anyone ever, and that's close games, but he did it with one signature pitch. It would be really fun.
Yeah.
And this is something, maybe we do a survey throughout spring training on this and get the opinions of so many great baseball folks. I would love to pick an arsenal, four pitches, five pitches, the five best of all time. You could take Nolan Ryan's fastball. You could take Koufax's curveball. You could take Rivera's cutter. You could come up with just a nasty arsenal. And I'd love to hear what pitchers and broadcasters who have seen so many of these guys would say.
I think that's a great idea, and we will implement it. I'll tell you who, you know what? I'm going to see Whitey tomorrow.
Awesome.
And either tomorrow or Friday. And I'm going to ask him, because, you know, Whitey's got a memory like an elephant, man. He doesn't forget anything. And I think I'll start with him.
I like that.
And see if we get something on tape and get his thoughts on that. But I think I would start with some of the old timers and work our way up to today's modern player.
Oh yeah,
I think that's a great survey, and I think we should probably do it for every show leading into the season.
Pitch. Maybe Bruce Sutter's splitter. Holy cow! I think there are some just awesome pitches that we could get, and then to hear guys talk about it would be cool, because hearing guys talk about facing Mariano Rivera or Lee Smith, like, that's been, I think, going back to your original point, you have to talk to the guys who face them, you know? And Mark Teixeira, who, you know, had MVP seasons, was like 1-for-9 against Rivera before he joined him as a teammate, said the only time he made contact and put the ball in play was a broken bat nubber against a shift that found its way into left field. All right, that's Mike Claiborne. He's in Florida. We're a month away from games in Jupiter. Don't forget, you can join us down in Jupiter. Make your plans to head south this winter for sunny skies, warm beaches, and Cardinals baseball. Packages are available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. We've got a really fun edition of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren. Coming up is we're going to hear from just about everyone who was at the Hyatt Regency St. Louis at the Arch over the weekend. Ben Boyd is our executive producer, Mike Anderson, and Zach Schmidt helping us out in the studio tonight, and Carol from the Cardinals Radio Network getting us going and helping us out each and every week as well. And we're back after this, just getting started on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Just underway on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Don't forget to get your Cardinals tickets. Theme tickets are on sale right now. They include returning favorites like Star Wars Night, Margaritaville Night, Grateful Dead Night, and many more. For details and a full list of dates, visit cardinals.com/theme. We'll talk a little bit more about theme tickets later with Megan Eberhardt. Right now, though, we head to Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up and to the main stage where I introduced one of the newest Cardinals.
Earlier this winter, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and his staff acquired a 13-year Major League Baseball veteran, a 6-time All-Star, and simply put, one of the most dominant relievers in baseball over the last half decade. And now Mo will officially introduce Andrew to you and to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, if you guys recall, when we actually agreed to terms, it was about 5 days before Christmas. And so trying to orchestrate a press conference was just a little awkward. And so we thought the best thing to do would just introduce Andrew to this crowd at winter warm-up. And it shows really the spirit of the city and how much our fans really care about the St. Louis Cardinals, which I think, as someone that's played in the big leagues for as long as you have, you know that. But it's really a special group. And so I welcome you to St. Louis. I wish you nothing but success. And hopefully 2019 is a great year for all of us.
We'll spend just a moment asking Andrew and John a couple of questions, and then John's going to do a longer Q&A. But Andrew, first of all, welcome. What was it about this organization that for you as a ball player, but also as a person, made it so appealing?
Yeah, I think certainly the reputation of this organization is well known, and the history. I think it's always fun to play for a team that has the history and the fan base like this. I know that there's generations here that have loved this team, and they pass it on to the next generation, and there's no better place to be than somewhere like that. And I haven't heard anybody say a bad word about this, so I'm looking forward to it. The city is exciting, the team is exciting. I think we have a chance to win, and that's what's the most important thing, and I want to be a part of that.
And John, also about Andrew as a player, but as a person, when you get an opportunity to bring in a piece like this, what was so appealing about the chance to add Andrew to your club and to your bullpen?
Yeah, a couple things come to mind. Obviously, when you're looking to improve your team, a lot of those decisions are based on performance, and many of you are aware of what Andrew has done on the field. And last year, probably didn't have the year that he wanted because of injury. And sometimes when you're in that free agent market, you're looking for someone that had a great year, but there's also times when you're looking for someone that you think there's some more upside. And we believe Andrew's capable of being the type of pitcher that he was in 2017 and even earlier. And so for us, when you look at our division and look how competitive left-handed hitters are, Andrew was someone that I remember meeting with his agent very early on in the process, Mark Rogers, that we decided, if we could find a way to do this, we wanted to. And we really think Andrew's the perfect piece to our bullpen. And the other thing that comes to mind, too, is if you get to spend any time around Andrew, you realize he's a very bright person. He's going to help our younger bullpen. He's going to help teach them and mentor. And those are great skills that when you're looking for just a performance standpoint, but also what you bring to the table to help others grow. And that's what we hope to see.
Andrew, you were obviously a part of that great Cleveland team and that run to the World Series against the Chicago Cubs, been a part of great organizations in New York and Boston. What have some of those runs and some of those organizations taught you and also fueled your fire to try to get to and then win the World Series?
Yeah, I think you stole my words, fuel my fire. I think as close as we got that year in 2016 against the dreaded Cubs, fuels me to get there and find a way to be that team that does the dog pile at the end of the year and has the parade. So that's where I want to go, and I think that's was probably the most appealing thing about this team is I saw they went out and got Goldschmidt. I know what they have on paper. I know what they're capable of, and I want to be a part of that.
And finally, Andrew, I know that you've been used in so many different roles and have said that you don't care about your role. You just want to come and play and win. Why do you think you've been so successful in a variety of different roles, of different opportunities, even on some of the biggest stages?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've been put in some great situations. I've had, a chance to play for some great teams and great managers, and it certainly looks like this is going to continue that run. And, ultimately, I feel like the teams that do well, the units that do well, are ones that just buy into the same goal of winning, and that's all that's important.
Cardinals fan, six-time All-Star and St. Louis Cardinal, Andrew Miller.
Next, we'll be joined by Alex Reyes on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby with you back in a moment on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. I'm Chris Raby on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. The Cardinals Kids Club, presented by Rawlings, is the fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes exclusive Cardinals items, two tickets to a 2019 Cardinals home game, an invite to a members-only party at Busch Stadium, and much more. Visit cardinals.com/kidsclub. to join. We head back to winter warm-up right now, where we sit down with Alex Reyes.
How's the off-season been, man? First and foremost, how's your little one? You said she's turning 3 this summer. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, time's been flying. I mean, she was born the year I got called up. It was 2016, so turns 3 here in July. And, I mean, my off-season's been going great. Been able to spend a lot of time with her, her mother, and getting healthy is the most important thing, and I've been able to do some of that.
How frustrating was last year? Not even just the injury, but having to shut it down and then start rehab again after the shoulder procedure, Alex?
It's tough. I mean, mentally it's pretty much draining. You know, you go 14, 16 months of working in the gym every day, day in, day out, giving it 100%, working with the best trainers. And, you know, there's one pitch that, or, you know, whatever it is, throwing, that comes back to bite you. There's not really could do about it, but put my head up and, you know, keep working towards the main goal, and that's to get back out there on the field and hopefully give the fans something to be proud about.
What positives do you take, though, from not just the rehab work, but then that rehab stint that you had through the minors last year was, like, silly? I mean, what positives do you take from the success you had despite the fact that you still had to deal with another injury?
To be honest, I found a new pitch. I was able to work on my slider throughout those games. And
I think 9 guys in a row in that game in Memphis found it too.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I was just trying to go out there and throw strikes down in the zone, and I was able to work. You know, my body was feeling a lot better. I lost some weight. I was able to move more consistently, I thought, with my delivery. And, again, yeah, I found the slider, and I got comfortable with it. I'm excited for this year, you know, to hopefully be able to stay healthy the whole season and be able to show the world.
So tell us where you're at right now. You threw, a couple of days ago off the mound in Jupiter at the complex. Where are you? Where are you physically? And what's going to be next over the next 3 weeks before everybody kind of trickles into to Jupiter, into the complex?
I threw a few days ago on Tuesday, and I threw yesterday again on the mound. So right now that's where we are. It's kind of going from long toss to the mound. Next week I start increasing the pitches in my bullpen. That should be around 15, 20, 25 pitches. Not sure yet, but that's where we are. And I'm extremely excited, and these next 3 weeks should be pretty much, you know, building off the mound and hopefully be ready for spring training as a regular guy.
So this is ahead of where you were last year in terms of how much you were throwing, in terms of any restrictions. This is further along than you were, right?
I would say further along, because last year before spring training I was throwing bullpens.
Okay.
I was just held back a little bit.
Yeah.
With facing hitters. This year I feel, if everything continues to go as it has been and continues to go well, I should be, you know, facing hitters as soon as spring training or as regular guys, you know, as these guys, they come into spring training and throw their bullpen or throw two bullpens and then work in the facing hitters. I'm hoping to be a regular pitcher, a part of this spring training.
What do you learn about the mental side of being patient, Alex, through the last couple of years?
Everything. I mean, patience means everything for me. I can't rush to get back. I mean, my arm will bark at me. It'll let me know when I'm healthy, and it'll let me know if I'm not. So patience has been huge. I mean, I was patient last year. You know, I ended up waiting 16 months to get back out there. But, you know, God sent another message and told me it wasn't my time yet. So I'm excited for this year and hoping it is.
I'm only asking this because you'll get asked a million times this weekend. Do you have in your mind when spring starts? I know you're going to have your own plan, but starter, reliever, bullpen, whatever they need, or just volume of innings. I know in spring it doesn't really matter because you don't really break it down that way in games and stuff, but do you think about that stuff?
Not necessarily think about that. My thought right now is to get healthy. All that stuff's kind of behind me. I would love to be a starter. That's at the end of the day, that's what I want to do in my career, and I want to pitch as a starter. But again, I mean, wherever I fit in this 25-man roster, wherever it is I can help, I just want to be a part of the big league club and be able to have a chance to break with the club in spring training. And that's the only goal that I have in my mind, is being healthy, and that decision is for the team to make.
My final question, we had Flaherty on with us last week, and he was chirping a little bit because I asked him, you know, he was talking about the off-season work and not just the throwing, but the stuff you pitchers do because you're athletes, you're not just pitchers. So I said, if we squat it up, if we're playing hoops, if we're playing flag football, pitchers, position players, who has the edge?
I would say on our team,
yeah.
I would say the pitchers.
He said, no doubt pitchers. Yeah, he said any sport.
I believe that. I believe that. There aren't many position players that are part of that ceiling club. That's all I can say right there.
And then I asked him, if you're picking the teams, or if you're dividing everybody up, who's your first pick of the pitchers? Who's your last pick?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, he did. You want to know what he said?
Yes.
He said Hudson runs in really funny from the bullpen. And he wouldn't pick Dakota Hudson. He said John Gant would probably be his first pick.
John Gant.
He said sneaky athlete.
He is a tremendous athlete. It's crazy how sneaky he is.
So you want to go on the record? That's your answer?
No. I would go with, honestly, my pick would be probably Miles. The guy's just a tank. He's probably the best athlete in our rotation, I think.
Probably the best fisherman, too.
Yep.
Hey, man, it's great to see you.
No problem, man. Thank you guys for having me.
We'll hear from the manager, Mike Schilt, and Mike Shannon with Mike Kelly next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back, having fun, taking you to Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up from the weekend here on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. We head back right now and hear from Mike Kelly with Mike Shannon and Cardinals manager Mike Schilt.
I'm going to take you back about 30 years ago. Because the guy sitting to my right, when I started at KMOX at the tender age of 26, I had an opportunity to do some shows with this guy, and let me tell you something, he was someone who I admired as a player, who I always respected, and then when I got a chance to meet him, and I got a chance to see how he treated me personally, my admiration for him just grew and grew and grew, and it is very high. Let me tell you this, as we bring in the longtime voice of the Cardinals, Mike Shannon, it is great to see you, my friend.
It's great to be seen. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Great to be vertical, right?
Yes, for sure. You know,
what? You've been doing this for a long time, right? You've been part of this organization for 50, almost 60 years. Does it ever get old seeing all these fans?
No, because they're always new, you know. And,
yeah.
And you know, Mike, when you do a sporting event, you go to whether it's a basketball court or the baseball field, the football field. It doesn't matter because you have new players, new coaches, and new fans, and things they keep on going. I mean, you know, it's like Bill DeWitt. The DeWitts, they don't own the St. Louis Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals are owned by the fans. Period. You know, okay. And anytime you mess with them, you're going to find out who owns them. I'll tell you that. Now, you may be the custodian, okay? It's just like my job. I'm not important. The job is extremely important, okay? And hopefully some way I'll enhance it before it's all said and done. But I see this the same with the ownership, man. And I think the DeWitts believe that also.
I look at the events of yesterday, and somebody named Bryant made a statement about the city of St. Louis, and it didn't take long for Yadier Molina and John Brevia to jump in full force and really support and back this city. You've heard about it. Just, you know, it's neat for Cardinal fans to see the rivalry continue to grow through that way.
Well, I'm from that old school where I like to see actions instead of words, you know, plain and simple. And it's been working for a long time on both sides, you know. So, you know. Rivalries are made more by the fans than they are by the players.
Sure.
I mean, look at the Cardinals and the Cubs, you know. It's because of this similarity of the two cities and that the similarity geographically more than anything. But that's where the rivalry comes from, the fans. I mean, the players, they just go out and play, you know. Right. It doesn't matter. Now, you know, if there's a fight here or there or something like that comes up, then I think that ignites or promotes rivalries. But I don't – normally I think it's because of the fans, period.
The acquisition of Goldschmidt and also bringing in Miller, just a thought on those two pieces to this puzzle that already existed.
Well, Goldschmidt is a proven fact, okay, and he's going to enhance the offense tremendously. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He'll make everybody so much better, and especially the left fielder. If that left fielder is healthy, be careful because he's dangerous. I mean, he's really a dangerous guy. So the pitching, I think the pitching is still wide open as far as I'm concerned, and if if I was going to look at the Cardinals and I was going to look at where I wanted to improve, I'd want to improve the pitching. And you never have too much pitching. I don't care what you say or how. You go to spring training, you got 29 guys that can start, and then the next thing you know, you're leaving and you're looking for another starter, period. And the bullpen, you know, the way the game's played today, Mike, the bullpens are extremely important. I mean, they are so important. I mean, because guys only go five, six innings, you know. And so you need a reliever for the seventh, the eighth, and then you need a closer. And those guys have a certain slots that they work into, and you know, and I think Whitey Herzog was the first one I asked him about. I said, how do you make up a team? He said, well, I start with my closer and I go backwards. And you know, where I can say 40 or 50 years ago, you used to start with your starters, okay, and then you'd build around that. But now you start with that closer, period.
Got a guy over your shoulder I think is going to join us in the conversation here. Evaluate the job that Mike Schilt did in this first season.
Well, I think he was phenomenal. He really was. And I think that he took over for where Tony La Russa left off. I think he's a disciple of a guy that we had in the minor leagues for 100 years, it seems. And he passed about 10 years ago, and he's a disciple of him. But I think he's also a guy that's wide open as far as looking for answers and for methods, okay? And, you know, there's so much information that you have today, Mike, in our game, in almost all these games now, but especially in baseball. We have so much information. How much information can one manager take or one player take, for instance, okay? It's tough enough if a player just takes two or three things into effect, all right? Let alone, you know, and the manager's there, and he's got 10 people telling him about this, and he's got people upstairs with all of the nuances we have in the game today. You know, they're not so new, though. You know, and people talk about, okay, shifts and things. Well, we had that 40, 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. I mean, we'd go over that in the meetings before the game, before the series when we had, you know, say, okay. And I can remember Gibson and Johnny Keene saying, oh, he can't pull him. And the first thing, he hit a double down the left field line. And I can remember Kurt Simmons, you know, the old pro, you know. He'd say, play the big guys deep and the little guys shallow. And it was a simple thing, but basically it was right. You know, the guys with power, you better play a step further back because they're headed over your head.
With that, let's bring into the conversation the manager of the Cardinals, Mike Schilt. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
How we doing?
Well, we're doing great. It's great to see you. Let's kind of get our chairs around so some folks want to get a picture of you for sure, particularly the two of you. I'll kind of stay out of the way. It's kind of great to be around a guy with the wealth of knowledge of this guy, isn't it?
This guy's amazing. I love this guy. I have as much time as I can get with him, the better. He's he always lead better when I have a conversation with him. He loves the game and has great insight to the game.
Yeah, for sure. And he's seen the game change just a little bit through the years, hasn't he?
Just a hair.
Hey, Mike, just your thoughts on this weekend, being here and in a little different role than in previous seasons. So, obviously, as you come here as the manager, just what's it been like so far?
It's been great. You know, I mean, it's been a good offseason for a lot of reasons, but just appreciate the fact, you know, it kind of feels like spring training should start tomorrow. You know, everybody's excited. And good to see the fan base out here and everybody's enthusiasm and catch up with the guys and everybody's looking good. So, I'm loving it.
Pull that mic just a little bit closer for us, too. Okay.
Hey, Mike, what are you looking at spring training? I'm looking at, as far as spring training is concerned, is an unbelievably busy time for you and the coaches. I mean, you have a lot of things that you have to settle down there.
We do. We, you know, Shannon, we just came back from Florida last week. We spent 3 days and got down there, and, you know, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity in spring training and want to make sure that we're doing it the right way, make sure we leave there with no stone unturned, and make sure we leave there, you know, fundamentally sound.
Yeah, fundamentally sound is the most important thing, right?
That's right.
Physically or mentally?
Combination of all three.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many things in spring training that I look, you know. I'd say 30 or 40 years ago, spring training was not as important as it is today. Spring training back then, guys just got in shape to play.
Right.
Now,
right.
And it's for instance, being a manager in the big league, you have so much information. I mean, way too much information, okay? Way too much for one person to consume, okay? And then to pass on to the players. You know, how much can a player consume himself, okay?
You know, Shannon, you hit the nail on the head, as always. There is a ton more information. There's a ton more technology. More in the game now than ever.
And it's important, the knowledge, it too. No, it's extremely important.
It's great. You know, I mean, we embrace it. You know, we're trying to figure out what that sweet spot looks like. But at the end of the day, it gets to be about guys with the ball in their hand and a bat in their hand and a glove on their hand and, you know, catching it and throwing it and, you know, hitting it. And, you know, so we need to – we, mean the staff, take all the information, which we've done this offseason, and pare it down to where it's applicable to baseball.
How long does it take you to pare that information down? Because there's so many different resources from so many different angles, if you will.
Well, we spent a lot of the offseason doing just that. So, I mean, I say a lot, I mean a lot. You know, we're still in the process of doing it. So we look at it more of a shotgun approach. We take all of it, and then we just start to get down to more of a laser to it and you know, synthesize it to where collectively as a team we can use it, and then individually we can make sure we're understanding how to use it for, you know, each player.
Mike, as a manager, with all of the information you have, how do you simplify it?
Yeah, you just get down and you realize, okay, what? First of all, let's throw out all the stuff that's not applicable. You know, like you look at it and you go, is this applicable? Is this going to actually help?
Give me an example.
Well, I don't want to hack anybody off because they give us all this information. Like, well, that's not applicable. You know, we tell them, but you know, but Mike, like you know, like. It's great to see, you know, a lot of the numbers and a lot of the things, but, you know, like an evaluation metric of how a player's evaluated from a front office isn't the same as helping him understand, you know, how to execute his pitches. So we can figure out other ways to figure out what that looks like so he can get that number that they want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. When you talk to a guy like Miller, and Goldschmidt's the same way, Miller has tasted it at the very highest level, right, in terms of success. Goldschmidt is very desperate and hungry to realize that. And you put those two components into the clubhouse of those that are already here. What does that bring to the table, if you will, from an overall standpoint with this roster?
Well, it just supports what we're doing together and where we're looking to go, you know, and where we're looking to go is back to the promised land and winning the World Series. And both those guys were very specific. You know, obviously we traded for Goldschmidt, but the first conversation with him is, you know, I'm coming here to win. I want to win, and I want to win it all. And, you know, we were, so to speak, courting Andrew Miller, and there was conversation with Andrew and before he signed because he had other opportunities. And, you know, it was going back and forth the conversation. He said, listen, I've accomplished a lot of what I want to accomplish from an economic and personal standpoint. I want to be one of 25 guys that are celebrating on the mound.
You know, you mentioned 25 guys. When you think about putting a World Series team together, let's go to 2050, okay,
yeah.
Which is about 30 years from now, all right? There are some players that are already around.
Yep.
There are some players that haven't been born yet.
Right.
And they may be from who knows what country, the way this has become an international game.
That's right.
But that's how difficult it is to put together a World Series baseball team, plain and simple. You have so many different individuals. You have so many different philosophies, okay? And you have to mold all that and put it together with 25 guys. And really, it's more than 25 because, you know, there'll be some guys along the way that'll be so important to a baseball team for just a short period of time, but that will have a big impact.
Yeah, and to your point, Mike, you know, we've done a lot of communication with our club, but we've extended that rightfully to the 40-man roster and actually even a little bit beyond that. You know, just having conversations. We were down, like I said, last week in Florida. There was an instructional camp going on, and so we spent some time with you know, some of the 13 non-roster invitees that were in that camp. So, you know, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, let's talk about how this looks, how spring training's gonna look, let's answer any questions you have. But, you know, heck, some of you might, who knows, one of you might break camp with us, you know, half of you might see us at some point, you know, so let's figure out how we're gonna get this to where you understand what we're expecting here.
So that brings us to individuals, right? Let's start with Reyes, okay?
Right.
There's an unknown right there. What's his situation, and how is he going to fit into the picture? And he'll determine that, if I'm
he
not
will.
Mistaken.
That's exactly right, Mike. He will. I spoke to Alex yesterday and, you know, just made sure that he understood that, listen, we know we have dates. We got the first day of pitchers and catchers. We got the first day of spring training games. We got the opening day, you know, in Milwaukee. I'm not, for him, wanting him to be overly concerned about those dates. The date I want for him is the date of health, you know, where he feels good and he can repeat what he's doing and he can bounce back from what he's doing and we can feel confident in what he's doing. And we'd love for that to be open today. As far as what role it is, again, he'll tell us, you know. I mean, there's a the good news is he's got such great stuff, he could do about anything. So, you know, we'll slot him in that's appropriate based on the team look and based on how he looks for not only at that moment but also, you know, moving forward.
How about Wainwright?
Talked to him the other day. Feels great. Looks great. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too, that, and we talked about it just a moment ago with John Rooney, Bulldog.
Oh,
competitor,
gosh.
You know, fighter. So you know that the way it went last year, it's not the way that he wants Cardinal fans to remember him.
That's right. Yeah, Adam's on a mission as always.
Now, well, I saw in the paper, and I pay attention to some of it, but not all of it. I saw in the paper that you already have your five starters. That'll change.
Yeah, that was nice. You know,
that was someone else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was me. But you know, you're asking like who as of now. Yeah. You know, and that now changes. And you know, the great news is we've got 10 or 11 guys that could compete for. The reality also is we've got some guys that are established that have done it. You know, you're looking at obviously Miles, Michaelis, and Jack Flaherty, and you know, Michael Wacha was on his way to, you know, potentially being an all-star before he got sidelined with the oblique, and of course Carlos will be given that opportunity, and you know, Waino. So I mean, after that you've clearly got candidates, but those five are pretty strong as well.
Flaherty's developed a relationship, Mike Shannon, with Bob Gibson. They've developed a little bit of a friendship and have talked quite a bit.
Well, if I were the pitcher, I'd be
absolutely
right.
Why would you, right?
Sure.
But do you see a little Gibson in Flaherty?
Well, I don't like to compare people, though, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, he's a bulldog and he comes right after. What I was impressed by him, and Mike can vouch to this or the other way around, is that he liked to challenge people. Okay. Yeah.
The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team returns to Busch Stadium on May 16th. Tickets are on sale now at cardinals.com/soccer. Back to wrap up hour one of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Just about 1 hour in the books. Looking forward to a big second hour here on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby with you. We'll be joined by Paul Goldschmidt, Dexter Fowler, and Matt Carpenter. Those could be the 3-2-1 hitters for the Cardinals this year at Busch Stadium. Hey, don't forget about the Cardinals official calendar. The 2019 official calendar spotlights the signature artwork of the team photographers with a special salute to unbreakable Cardinals records. And it's on sale now at St. Louis retailers or at 314-345-9000. We'll give one away right now to caller three. Just be the third caller at 314-531-1120, and you'll take home a Cardinals calendar. 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to come as we visit with more Cardinals from this weekend's Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up from downtown St. Louis. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. Ben Boyd, our executive producer. Mike Anderson and Zach Schmidt here as well tonight. And we're back after this on the Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. All right, right now, don't forget, I want to tell you about the 2019 Cardinals official calendar. It spotlights the signature artwork of the team photographers with a special salute to unbreakable Cardinal records. And it's on sale now at St. Louis area retailers or at 314-345-9000. We'll give one away right now to caller two at 314-531-1120. 1 month from today, we have baseball in the Grapefruit League in Jupiter, Florida. We certainly are counting down to opening day, and it's going to be fun being with you every step of the way through spring training. Joining us right now to discuss the 2019 theme tickets that are on sale now is Megan Eberhardt, the manager of promotions and events for the Cardinals. Again, theme tickets on sale right now. Megan, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I know that theme tickets have become such a staple for you guys. So many great classic nights that people get fired up about. You're always adding new events. Yeah. Tell us first about the popularity of these theme nights and how you've seen this grow over the last few seasons.
Yeah. So since 10 a.m. this morning, we released over 40 of our theme tickets on sale at cardinals.com/theme. As you mentioned, these have definitely grown over the years. We started with just a handful, and like I said, we're at 40 on sale today. we will add to it throughout the year.
It's so fun to see some of the dates that have been so popular in the past. Over 40 of them are scheduled already. Fans can go to cardinals.com/theme right now, cardinals.com/theme, as the tickets are on sale. Tell us about some of the most popular nights and some of the returning evenings that fans will be able to see at cardinals.com/theme.
Absolutely. Well, fans love a good pregame concert, so of course we will bring back Margaritaville, Elvis, and Grateful Dead, and a few other bands. And fans love to cheer on other teams besides just the St. Louis Cardinals. So, of course, Bragging Rights will be back, featuring Mizzou in Illinois, and also St. Louis Blues and SLU.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead night, the Margaritaville night, they come with great gear, a hoodie pullover for the Grateful Dead night, some Parrot Head gear as well for Margaritaville that I know you'll touch on in just a minute, but especially those pregame concerts. I have to say, some of these cover bands that come out, whether it be, you know, Grateful Dead, Elvis night, if it's the Beatles night, some of them are pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. Fans definitely love the pregame concert. And like you said, the exclusive merchandise as well. For Margaritaville night this year, we have taken our fan favorite all-over print button down that was a gate giveaway, and now that will be the Margaritaville theme night item for 2019.
That's perfect. How about our fans of Star Wars and Game of Thrones? I know they come from all over, and you guys are excited about those evenings.
Oh, yes, for sure. So Game of Thrones will be a T-shirt, and Star Wars is another jersey. Fans told us last year that they absolutely loved the unique jersey, so we brought it back in a different fashion.
I don't know, right now soccer is a hot topic in St. Louis. Of course, we have the U.S. Women's National Team coming. Fans excited about Major League Soccer potentially coming to St. Louis. Soccer night's always a big evening for you, isn't it?
It is, and this year is May 7th, and the item is a long-sleeve soccer jersey.
Tell us about some of the new evenings that you guys have coming up, Megan. And, man, who comes up with some of these ideas? I'm impressed.
It's a major team of us. It's actually the entire front office adds ideas, or we hear from fans what they want each year. But some new ones that we want to highlight for 2019, like I mentioned, the pregame concert. We are so excited to announce a boy band night in 2019. Think of like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Boys to Men. We have an awesome cover band booked for that. And the item is a T-shirt. We also
That T-shirt's incredible, by the way. I saw a picture of it.
It looks like a popular album cover. And we will be celebrating Earth Day at the ballpark. Also, we have an Easter brunch with Fred Bird. And new for 2019, we also have a Bikers at Busch. So all those Harley riders can come on down to the ballpark and get a unique T-shirt.
And Megan, I know something that you guys are really proud of is that when it comes to the theme nights and the tickets, since it is an additional ticket that is required, you guys are able to do some really great things with some of the proceeds, right?
Yes, with the majority of these, a portion of the ticket sales go back to different organizations throughout our community, such as Cancer Awareness Night and Transplant Awareness Night. So continue to check out the website, cardinals.com/theme.
Cardinals.com/theme. You can check out the over 40 theme dates that are scheduled right now, including Boy Band Night. I will not be performing, but maybe I could be convinced. And again, everything that's happening at Busch Stadium. Megan Eberhardt, thanks so much. Again, cardinals.com/theme. We'll see you at the ballpark before you know it.
Thank you.
Make your plans to head south this winter for sunny skies, warm beaches, and Cardinals baseball. Packages are available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. Back in a moment to wrap things up on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Hey, 2019 theme tickets are on sale now and include returning favorites like Star Wars Night, Margaritaville Night, Grateful Dead Night, and many more. For details and a full list of dates, visit cardinals.com/theme. Welcome back to the program. Had so much fun over the weekend at Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up downtown at the Hyatt Regency at the Arch, including our visit with Dexter Fowler.
Well, it's always great to see Dexter Fowler, and it's great to see him at Winter Warm-Up. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing good. I can't complain at all.
How'd the signing go?
It was great. It was great. Warm welcome, which was awesome, and the people were great.
This is such a cool event. I know, Cubs doing the same thing at the Cubs convention, and teams that have fan bases like this can generate a lot of good for charity, and it's crazy. I think here in Chicago might be two of the biggest celebrations of baseball for a fan base in January. Like this is nuts, man.
You know what's crazy is everybody always laughs, but I never went to a Cubs one. I never went. This is my first Cardinals one, and I didn't get to go to either of the two years I was there. I didn't go to either one of those.
Hey, one of your former teammates is making a lot of news because of some comments last night.
That's what I heard. I didn't even get to read it or anything. Everybody's been telling me about it, but I hadn't seen it.
Isn't it great when the Cubs Cardinals rivalry is a heated rivalry, like on the field, off the? I mean, it's a rivalry, right?
Yeah, it makes it fun. It makes it fun.
Because for a long time, both teams weren't really competing for postseason at the same time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. And it's fun to compete like that. And it always takes the blood pressure up a little bit. And with everybody out there, I think the fans and stuff they get into it as well.
Tell us how the offseason's been, and just from a physical standpoint, Dexter, coming back from that injury that just happened at a brutal time last year in terms of getting things going and then having to shut it down for a while, rehab. What's the process been like? How do you feel right now?
No, it's been humbling. It's been humbling. But, time heals all, and at the end of the day, it's fun getting out there and getting back in the swing of things. I've been hitting and running. I have no setbacks, and, I'm good to go.
Are you full go right now?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So
because you met with some of the medical guys during the winter meetings when we were out in Vegas?
Yeah. So Adam came out, AO came out, and I had gotten out of the boot, and we started to run, and, he came out, went to the UFC gym, and he got to see a little bit of my training. And
you're doing UFC?
No, we went to I go over to UFC gym. They have a huge.
I thought you meant you were like fighting.
No. I went over to the gym and did some running. So he came over there, met me over there, and then came to the house and got to see my workout regimen. So.
And got to see a little karaoke, right, with some of the Cardinal staff over there.
Yeah,
that went a little viral, man.
Yeah, we had a party. What was it? The next night or two nights after that. It was great. It was great. The whole front office came out, and I think they enjoyed themselves.
Enjoyed some beverages and some singing. I would love to get the black market tape of some of those guys singing to use on a pregame show.
I'm really good at karaoke.
I'm sure you are. I know you're really competitive.
For sure. I got to be the best at everything. I try to be.
Dexter, I was talking with Alex Reyes earlier about dealing with injuries and setbacks and wanting to prove something to people, whether it's you wanting to prove something or any player that goes to a new team wanting to prove something. Alex wanted to prove something as he's dealt with missing seasons the last couple of years. When you have that desire, but you also at some point have to wait for your body to start cooperating, how do you learn to be patient with the process?
Learn to be patient. It's going to teach you to be patient. I don't think it's it's like I said, it's a humbling experience, and it takes some growth. But I don't think there's anybody harder on themselves than me. Everybody always they're always like, hey, this and that. I'm the hardest on myself. So to not be able to be out there and to not be able to be with the guys in the trenches, it sucks. It sucks. But I feel Alex's pain. I mean, he's. It's always worse when it's happened consecutively, but you cherish the moments when you're out there when you get back.
What do you like about this ball club right now? And in an off season where a lot of the talk has been about things that aren't happening or players that don't have jobs yet, this has been a pretty active club. How do you what do you make of some of the moves that have been made and what you guys have right now?
No, I'm excited. We got we got some good guys, some good clubhouse guys, some good exceptional talents on the field, and I'm excited to play next to them with them.
What was it like to face Andrew Miller when he was in that zone in that World Series?
It's Andrew Miller. He gets out there. Guy has a presence on the mound, and. It was a battle each and every time we went to the plate. I think I had like a 15-pitch at bat or something crazy like that in Chicago. I remember it. And he's a competitor. He kept coming right at me. So,
Dexter Fowler with us for one more minute at Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up. With having to be off your feet, be off the foot, I know you've grinded through a lot of stuff the last couple of years, played a lot of games in that run with the Cubs. How would you describe where kind of your whole body is right now compared to the last couple of years, Dexter? Maybe not by your own choice because of the broken foot, but as you look towards next month, how would you just describe how you are physically?
I feel like I'm my rookie year. Like my, I feel like I'm 22 again. You know, I honestly, I'm running, I'm hitting, and I feel great. I feel great. There's really no aches and pains anymore, and you know, that's refreshing.
Dexter Fowler, I know how competitive you are, but you ever let your little daughter think she beat you or did better than you in karaoke? You let her beat you to the car, or
you know what?
Race through the house.
She's super competitive too. So, which is it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So the whole house, we're all against each other, you know, at the karaoke. But we're all pretty good. She's probably the best though. My wife's sneaky good though.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What's her song?
Celine Dion. Celine Dion. Yeah, she kills it. She kills it. So.
And your go-to?
I have a few. I can't throw it. You know, I'm not gonna throw one out there.
Give me a couple.
I can do Bruno Mars. I have a large spectrum. I got old school R&B. I can do some Luther. I can do some whatever you name it. I can do some country, whatever.
Hey, speaking of competitiveness, we had Flaherty on and asked him.
I heard. You know, I
you
heard
about
that.
This.
I heard about
all right.
That.
Well, give me your rebuttal.
I actually hit him on Instagram. I was like, wow.
I asked the
really?
Question. It was a good question.
Yeah.
So what? Give me your rebuttal. This is players.
I want you know. I actually want to
players
read
pitchers.
Because we were going back and forth. I said, let me pull up the.
Yeah, pull it up. Because the question I asked was, you guys are. Playing anything non-baseball.
So I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jack Flaherty. Right here. Here we go.
The question was non-baseball position players, pitchers.
I said what pitchers can hoop? And I said he put what position players can hoop? And I said it'll be me, Jed, Paulie D, Drew Robinson, and I'll take Colton. And he said, it's him, Gant, Miles, Mayer, and Ponce. And I said, and he goes, he said he got Waino for the size. I was like, man. And we went back and forth. But I think we got him. We got him, for sure. I don't even think they can hoop. Like show them. Don't talk. I want to see. I want to see him hoop. I want to see a jumper. I want to see something.
Jerko was all state.
Right. I could have gone to college and played. Like this is not a.
Paulie D.
Paulie D. said that was his best sport. He's in the big leagues.
Flaherty can hoop or just loves the NBA and thinks he can hoop.
I think that's what it is. I don't. I've never seen the dude. I mean, he's an athlete. But I don't know if he can really hoop. He says he can. You know, he's from L.A. He's from L.A. So I'm sure he's been out there and played a lot, but I don't know how good he is.
And your last pick would be? Give the pitchers one position player that you didn't want anywhere near your team.
I was about to say, my last pick would be a pitcher.
Well said.
I might pick Flaherty last.
Dexter Fowler, great to see you, man. I know fans excited about, you know, it's going to be not just a great rest of the weekend, but a great year. We'll see you in Florida in a month, man.
No, I'm excited about it. We'll see you guys.
The Cardinals Kids Club, presented by Rawlings, is the fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes exclusive Cardinals items, 2 tickets to a 2019 Cardinals home game, an invite to a members-only party at Busch Stadium, and much more. Visit cardinals.com/kidsclub. To join. When we come back, Matt Carpenter joins us. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren. Back after this on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren. The Cardinals Kids Club presented by Rawlings is the fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes exclusive Cardinals items, 2 tickets to a 2019 Cardinals home game, an invite to a members only party at Busch Stadium, and much more. Visit cardinals.com/kidsclub to join. Matt Carpenter at Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up from the weekend.
Matt, it's great to have you. You know, one of the things from last night that I really liked from the writers' dinner was when I was interviewing Mike Schilt, and he said, Matt Carpenter's a really good third baseman, better than some people think. This is why people like this manager. He thinks ahead, and it's terrific to have you here, and it's terrific to see you in that position, actually. And Mike Schilt propping you up last night in front of everybody.
Yeah, he did. First off, Tom, thanks for having me. And I really appreciated what Mike says, and It's nice to know that you've got the backing of the manager, but I believe that, and I kind of stand my ground on that same idea. And I think as a baseball player and really as an athlete in general, you should always kind of go into a season with that kind of confidence and knowing that you can be good at whatever you do. And that's kind of my mindset at third is, you know, sometimes, or at least from what I've been told, you know, I've gotten maybe labeled as a third baseman who's, you know, below league average or whatever, however you ever want to look at it. But, you know, I'm very, very – I've got a chip on my shoulder this year to prove a lot of people wrong. And I know that our staff is looking forward to it, and they think that I've got the ability to do it, and I'm looking forward to doing it.
Russell, the shortstop, plays up the middle. The 3-2 pitch is hit high in the air. Right field and deep. And it is a gunner. Matt Carpenter has tied Lou Brock with 21 career game leadoff home runs. 1-0 on that swing by Matt Carpenter.
As Lester pitches and Carpenter swings, hitting a high fly ball. That's a two-run homer and a two-home run game for Matt Carpenter.
Hard hit, right center field gap. Hayward on the move, can't get it. It's down and it's going to the wall. Another extra base hit for Matt Carpenter. And the Redbirds now lead 12-1.
Here's a swing and a high fly ball for Carpenter to right field. Back on the track, Hayward at the wall. It's a home run. The ball hit in the basket. And a three-run homer for Matt Carpenter. His third home run today and his fifth hit. An unbelievable day for the Cardinal leadoff batter, Matt Carpenter.
Isn't that how you got into the big leagues in the first place? Was you had that little chip on your shoulder that you can be the best ball player that you can be?
I perform at my best when I'm overlooked. That's just kind of been kind of my whole career. I mean, you look at, you know, where I've come from and where I started. I mean, in a lot of ways, I really shouldn't even be here. I mean, you know, I was a fifth-year senior who signed for $1,000, went to the lower level of the minor leagues to start a career and really to just more than anything, just fill a roster spot, and have just really kind of, taken that same mindset, that kind of overlooked underdog mentality throughout my entire career. And you know, that's kind of been the thing that's driven me to this point.
How did you do that? How did you get yourself into a position to be a professional? It's different. I mean, you're playing in college to playing on the professional level. As low as the professional level is, it's different, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, it's a full, a lot of people don't understand the sacrifices that you have to make to be good at this game. And to play at a level professionally, to make it to the big leagues, not just to make it to the big leagues, but to stick. And to stick on an organization like the St. Louis Cardinals and to be here long enough to have a career, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of sacrifice. And, some people get that, some people don't. Everyone just kind of sees the end result, and you don't understand there's a lot of heartache and a lot of tears, a lot of tough times that you go through to get to this point. And, you know, I can attest to that. It's something that I've lived. And for me, it's the mindset that I've always kind of lived with as a baseball player since the time I got drafted was this is something that I really wanted and that I've really obsessed over and worked diligently to achieve. But also, man, I was very free mentally, knowing that, like, if this didn't work out, you know, I had a fallback plan. I graduated from college. I was a fifth-year senior. I just kind of had the mentality that, you know, I'm playing with house money anyway. I'm not really supposed to be here. It was kind of a stroke of luck that I'm even here. And so let's just make the most of it. Whatever happens, happens. And I've kind of taken that same thought throughout my whole career.
What sort of role did Mackenzie, your wife, play in that climb?
There's no way that I could have done it without, having her as an anchor, really, and a support system, and to start a family and to have her support. And, I mean, really, you know, look at, in a lot of ways, she's really the MVP of what we've got going from our household. I mean, she's there's no way I could do it without her, and I try to make sure that she's well aware of that.
you got those cute kids. Is your daughter, your oldest, starting to recognize what you do?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, she understands that, you know, daddy plays baseball and that he's going to leave to go to the field and that he's going to go to St. Louis. I mean, it's starting to resonate a little bit with her. She understands. She doesn't love it. She doesn't love the fact that I have to go sometimes. But, I mean, I think all kids go through that. But she does love going to Busch Stadium. She loves seeing, watching the Cardinals game. She asks about it all the time. So, we're looking forward to another great year and her getting to experience some more of that.
Last year was fun. You didn't get what you wanted, but there were some really good times. The game in particular, I mean, the game at Wrigley Field, what was going on in your mind? That thing must have looked like a beach ball to you. You hit two home runs and had two doubles before people got through their first and second beer at Wrigley, and then you hit a third home run in the game. Seven RBIs in the ball game. Amazing tear that you were on at the time.
Yeah, you know, really, it's crazy. People ask about, you know, what you were feeling or what you were thinking. And I've read lots of books on, you know, great performances and athletes who, you know, have had great careers. And you hear the same thing from everyone. And I can honestly vouch for it, and because I've experienced it. You really don't feel or think anything in those moments. And I think that's what really enables you to achieve that, to kind of get in that momentum or to kind of get in that flow, is you're just in such a – your mind is so still and the game is so slow during those special moments that, like, it's really hard to describe, but, you know, you're just so locked in and so focused that there's nothing else going on, and you're not distracted. The best way I can describe it is if you've ever done anything in your life, whether it was reading a book or drawing a painting, or if you're a writer, writing, whatever it is, you know, whatever hobby you have, if you've ever been so into it that you just lose track of time. That's what it felt like. It's very similar. Just so into the game, so locked in that you don't realize that there's people out there. You don't even realize you're playing. You don't realize that what the weather is or what the umpire is doing, who you're facing, what's going on. You're just so into the moment and into the game that you're just completely focused on what's happening. And the next thing you know, you've had a great day.
It was a great run. Matt Carpenter is with us, and it came in a month, August, that typically is known as the dog days of summer, and you know, the season can kind of wear on you because it is a long season. And then after that, there was a time where you weren't connecting, and September was a little tougher. That run, though, with Mike Shildt, and Shilty last night answered my question by saying this was the players, this was not me. But at that time, that was fun. From mid-July to about mid-August, a little bit after that, it was a little bit of him, too. And that's what makes him, I think, a good manager.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think, you know, he's so humble and gives us a lot of credit. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away from our players because we definitely deserve some of it. But he deserves a lot of it, too. I mean, when he took over, I mean, you're talking about an uncomfortable situation, you know, coming in for a guy that he just worked for, who'd had a great career here with Mike Matheny, and then to jump into a season that kind of looked like the wheels were falling off a little bit, and to take that over with the new voice, with the, you know, in a clubhouse, it's not an easy thing to do. I think he handled it amazingly. He handled it with grace, and he really deserves a lot of credit for the turnaround. I mean, you know, kind of the just who he is as a person, and the work ethic that he has, the attention to detail that he has. You heard Mo say last night at the writers' dinner, you know, Mike Shildt leaves nothing to chance. I don't think that could have been said any better. He really doesn't. He does a really good job of getting not only his staff prepared, but his and himself prepared, but the team prepared. And that's a very important trait of a manager. And you know, he deserves a lot of credit for it.
What do you expect from Paul Goldschmidt as a teammate? We talk about his baseball all day long, and we've all seen him. The guy can play. But as a teammate, where does he fit?
He's a humble superstar. You don't see many of them. When they come around, they're rare. You guys had one here for 10 years and put up the 10 greatest years. Really, St. Louis is spoiled. I mean, and I say that in a great way. We're spoiled because we've had so many amazing face of the franchise players with your Albert Pujols, your Stan Musials, your Red Shandys, your Ozzie Smiths, just a bounty full of just amazing players, but amazing people. And we've gotten accustomed to that, and part of that is because this is such a great place that just naturally attracts those kind of caliber players. But I can assure you, Paul Goldschmidt's going to fit right in that group seamlessly. I mean, he is that kind of guy, you know, on and off the field. He's going to be a leader in our clubhouse. He's going to be a guy that guys can they're just going to migrate towards, and he's going to make us all better. Fans are going to really enjoy the experience with him. And we're going to just be – it's just going to be a thrill to go to work with him every day.
Was Matt Holliday like that? Did Holliday – the guys respected Holliday. Did they look up to him as a family man and as a person as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Matt's another great example. And, you know, I said the word spoiled. That might not be the best choice of words. We're lucky. We're lucky here in St. Louis to have such great guys come in. And not only embrace the city, but embrace the culture that has been instilled here since the beginning of time. It's just you know, and Matt was another guy. Wayne was another great example. Yachty, I mean, the history that gets embraced here when you put on this uniform, and the men that do it here, we've just been really fortunate.
Yeah, and don't worry, we don't twist your words around on radio. See, we air the whole interview. We don't let anybody take and run with something like they kind of ran with Chris Bryant. Now, you know, you got to be careful when you talk sometimes. And Bryant, that kind of took me a little by surprise. Bryant's kind of a laid-back guy. He's not typically somebody who's going to go take a shot at somebody. But that quote got run with pretty hard.
Yeah.
And when Yadier Molina steps in, you know, it touched him.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah. You know, whether it was a joking matter or not, you know, you never know the whole story. But regardless, you know, if you upset number four, it's never a good idea. You know, Yachty's obviously, I've met a lot of people, and you know, he is at the top of the list as far as passionate guys, fiery guys who will defend his city, his team, his country. Anything that he loves in at a level that comes with sometimes comes with a you know, a lot of passion, a lot of fire, and we saw that with the way he defended you know, our city, and man, rightfully so. I mean, I completely stand behind him on it. You know, I think that anything that is going to fire up Yachty is going to fire up the whole group. And, you know, I'm looking forward to an already even more motivated Yadier Molina, which is a scary thought.
I'm looking forward to 2019. I fully anticipate that it will be you that will be seeing that first pitch of the 2019 season up in Milwaukee. It's going to be fun. Let's see what happens.
Can't wait. It's looking forward to it.
When we come back, Paul Goldschmidt. That's next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to the second hour of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. I'm Chris Raby on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. The Cardinals Kids Club, presented by Rawlings, is the fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes exclusive Cardinals items, two tickets to a 2019 Cardinals home game, an invite to a members-only party at Busch Stadium, and much more. Visit cardinals.com/kidsclub to join. Paul Goldschmidt, right now, the Cardinals acquiring the six-time All-Star in December, and he joined us over the weekend.
What's up, man? How was the trip in? What's going on?
Great. I'm excited to be here, and so looking forward to getting to meet a lot of the fans and then keep preparing for spring training and the regular season.
What do you think of the turnout, just kind of your initial scan here?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, this place is packed, and there's a lot of energy. You can see that driving up with the fans around town, and, you know, the weather's not holding them back, so it's great to be here.
So we saw you in St. Louis, obviously, after the trade, before the holidays. What have the last month or so been like for you, for your family? Obviously not just getting ready for another baseball season, but adjusting and getting ready for a new organization.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few logistical things like find a place to stay and all that, but, you know, we got that taken care of, and then just, you know, preparing for to get ready for spring training, regular season. So, you know, it hasn't been as different as you thought. You know, you always have a backup plan, and so just find a place to work out and all that type of stuff. And, you know, I had it all ready to go and just, you know, same stuff, but different place.
Any Goldschmidt gear handed out over the holidays to anyone?
Yeah, Christmas shopping was really easy, so we got to get Cardinals jerseys for all the family and didn't have to, you know, dig too deep to try to find some.
First opportunity to obviously meet a couple guys. I know some of you are just coming in, going through stuff with the staff, medical, whatever. Getting a chance to meet with any guys, or have you had any contact with any of your teammates that maybe you weren't familiar with leading up to right now?
You know, this weekend goes pretty fast. So, you know, luckily, you know, I've been able to text and talk on the phone with a few guys. I think that's something I'm really looking forward to in spring training, is just, you know, trying to meet everyone and get in with the group. But, you know, this trip is a little bit more business-wise and coming here and do this. And, you know, there'll be plenty of time to get to know everyone.
Yeah. One of those guys, a new teammate, is Andrew Miller. Won't have to face him now, but, well, not this year. How would you have prepared to face Andrew? Or have you faced him in the past?
No, it's funny. He's one of the top guys that I was like, man, I want to face him. Although if I was a lefty, I don't think that would be the answer I'd be giving you. But I don't have a really scouting report. I've never faced him. And, you know, I got to play with him on Team USA and seen him throw in the All-Star game. And, I mean, man, he's as good as any guy out there. So, you know, excited when I saw that signing. And, you know, glad he's on our team.
Have you been surprised at this offseason and just the way that, I mean, the Cardinals have been active, but for a lot of baseball, you know, fans are kind of starting to bang their heads against the wall. I won't ask you to speak for anyone else, but is it strange to see teams that still have so many holes at this point of the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, that and just so many, you know, players and, you know, people talk about, you know, kind of the big name guys, but there's a lot of great players out there that don't, you know, we're here getting ready for almost spring training and at winter warm-up, and, you know, a lot of guys don't even, you know where they're going to be playing. So, yeah, it's definitely, it's been surprising and, you know, a little disappointing, but, you know, obviously I can't do anything about it and just keep preparing for this year.
What do you make of this division? How strong the National League Central is going to be? I mean, the West has been great the last couple of years, but what do you make of the competition you guys are going to face here?
Yeah, this might be the best division in baseball. I mean, I know there's a ton of great teams out there, but you look at how it went right down to the wire last year with all the teams, and, you know, Pittsburgh was getting better. They were in it the whole year, and then, you know, they made, you know, moves at the trade deadline, and, you know, Cincinnati, you know, got off to a rough start, but then they were great the rest of the year, and they've been at it in this offseason. You know, the Cubs and Brewers and the Cardinals, I mean, it's going to be really tough. It'll be fun. It'll be a great challenge, but, I mean, that's what you want. If you want to win, you want to beat the best teams, and, you know, there's the other four teams, and I think us as well are really talented, and it's going to be, you know, could go down to the last day again.
Can you put your finger on your success in some of the ballparks in this division?
I had no idea if I was good or bad until, you know, I got traded, and that's what everyone wanted to talk about.
Do you like hitting in the ballparks in this division?
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, I guess if you have success, you'll like anywhere. You know, I don't really have any place that I'm like, oh, man, I hate that or I really like that. And, you know, I try not to live too much in the past or look too far in the future. I'm just trying to stay in the present. So, and there's, like, pitchers or there's parks that maybe I was great at, and then all of a sudden you, for some reason, aren't hitting there, and then other places, you know, you get off to a bad start or whatever, and then all of a sudden it changes. So it's just because you've had, you know, past success or failures, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to continue. So I just try to take it day by day and just do what I can to help us win.
Don't forget the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is returning to Busch Stadium on May 16th, and tickets are on sale now at cardinals.com/soccer. Back in a moment to wrap things up on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back one final time to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. I'm Chris Raby. 1 month from today, we have baseball in the Grapefruit League in Jupiter, Florida. We certainly are counting down to opening day, and it's going to be fun being with you every step of the way through spring training. All right, right now, don't forget, I want to tell you about the 2019 Cardinals official calendar. It spotlights the signature artwork of the team photographers with a special salute to unbreakable Cardinal records, and it's on sale now at St. Louis area retailers or at 314-345-9000. We'll give one away right now to caller 2 at 314-531-9000. 1120. A big thanks to all of our guests from Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up over at the St. Louis Regency Hyatt at the Arch. Big thanks to our executive producer, Ben Boyd, Mike Anderson, Zach Schmidt, and Carol from the Cardinals Radio Network. For Mike Claiborne, I'm Chris Raby. We'll talk to you next week for Cardinals Countdown Opening Day, presented by Ameren, right here on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.